Everybody in here is guilty of the sin of pride. As a matter of fact, somebody asked me if I ever wanted to preach a sermon where everybody had to come forward, what would I preach on? And I would preach on pride, because we all deal with pride in some way, somehow. And the only reason why I haven't done that is because I would have to be the one that came up first and confess my sin of pride. I am... been doing some study on singing here lately. I know yesterday I had several people who've never been in a Church of Christ comment to me about our singing at the funeral. They'd never heard a congregation sing like that, and they were talking about it and how much they enjoyed it. And I've been thinking about songs quite a bit. I don't listen to music that much, and part of the reason why is, I've confessed this before, the songs that I used to listen to when I was growing up are not appropriate for a minister to listen to now. I've tried going back and listening to some of those songs, and I'm listening to the words, and I'm like, ooh, I sang that out loud at one time. And as I've been doing that, I've been realizing that the words of the song, young people, listen to this, the words of the song that you're singing have an impact on your heart. And some of the songs that I grew up singing, I just can't listen to anymore. But there are a few that I can still listen to. And one in particular is Steve Winwood, "Bring Me a Higher Love." And I went through the lyrics, because I wanted to be sure before I ever gave this song to you, I wanted to be sure the lyrics were okay. So we're going to show you the lyrics up here. It says, "Think about it, there must be a higher love down in our hearts or hidden in the stars above. Without it, life is a wasted time. Look inside your heart and I'll look inside mine. Things look so bad everywhere. In this world, what is fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. Bring me a higher love. Where's that higher love I keep thinking of? Worlds are turning and we're just hanging on, facing our fears and standing out there alone, a yearning. It's real to me. There must be someone who's feeling it for me. Things look so bad everywhere in this world. What is fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. Bring me a higher love. Where's that higher love I keep thinking of? Bring me a higher love. I could rise above on a higher love. I will wait for it. I'm not too late for it. Until then, I'll sing my song to cheer the night along. Bring it, oh, bring it. I could light up the night with my soul on fire. I could make the sun shine from pure desire. Let me feel that love come over me. Let me feel how strong it could be. Bring me a higher love." I don't know whether that speaks to you or not, but it spoke to me as a teenager. And I think as a teenager, well, I was probably in my 20s by the time this song was written. But I remember thinking about that song and thinking about what a great love song that is. But the more I began to listen to those words and the more I began to hear those words, and especially recently, I realized there is a need for a higher love. You see, the Bible says that there is a higher love, but how do I find that higher love? The first thing you've got to remember is that there is a lower level love. There is a lower level love. When I was a kid, my mom and dad, they didn't have any money really. And I remember it was time for school clothes. Now, you got to understand that my older brother was built a lot like Evan. Evan, would you mind standing up so everybody can see this? As a matter of fact, Evan, come up here for real quick. Evan didn't know this was happening today. But Evan's my buddy. But I want you to look how this guy's built. Now, when I was younger, my older brother was built like this. He was a little bit taller, but he was built like this. This is a manly man. Now, me, when I was growing up, I was skinny. I mean, my brothers used to tell my friends that Neil has to wear tennis shoes in the shower to keep from going down the drain. Okay? Thank you, Evan. Give Evan a hand. So when I would go to school, I always got hand-me-downs. Now you can just imagine me wearing Evan's clothes as a skinny little kid. I mean, it didn't work. My belt was cinched so tight that I had puffs coming out the back. I mean, it was horrible. And so one day I complained about it. My mom said, well, we'll go shopping. And I was so excited. We were going to get to go shopping, and I was going to get some pants that fit. And we walked in, and I looked at the department store, and they had all the styles that was famous back then. And we walked in, and the shirts were all lined up really nice. And the pants were lined up all really nice. And my mom took my hand, and we walked right by all of that, and we got on the elevator, and we went down to the basement. You see, that's where the irregulars were. One leg was longer than the other. I mean, it was, and it looked like, you know how things are after Black Friday? You come into a store after Black Friday and everything's just scattered everywhere. It's a mess because people have been picking it up and throwing it instead of putting it back. We went into that place, and that's where we shopped because we didn't have the money. Folks, a lot of us are living at a lower level of love. You got to understand there is a love that is not a higher level love. There is a lower level love. And that first thing, letter or number one, is worldly love. A lot of people are living in worldly love. It says in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 70, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of a sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You see, in that, we've got pride. Everybody in here is guilty of the sin of pride. As a matter of fact, somebody asked me if I ever wanted to preach a sermon where everybody had to come forward, what would I preach on? And I would preach on pride, because we all deal with pride in some way, somehow. And the only reason why I haven't done that is because I would have to be the one that came up first and confess my sin of pride. The second thing in that worldly level is possessions. And I think God intended for us to have things. But the problem with a lot of us is we don't use things and love people. Instead, we love things and use people. And a lot of us have that love of possessions. And the third thing is the passions. And the passions of this world, the lust of the eye, wanting what is best for me. And that brings us to point number two of the lower level love, and that is self-love. That's where we are so consumed with everything that it's all about me. In the Message Bible, the same verse, practically everything that goes on in this world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. And if you're experiencing some of this and you say, well, you know, I'm a bad person because I'm prideful. I love my possessions and I want to have passion in my life. That is the human experience. That's one thing that we're all got in common that we've got to deal with. But there is a higher love. And I think that God wants us to live at that higher love. If you look at your notes, the first thing as far as a higher love is a pure love for others. A pure love for others. I can see that in John chapter 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17 it says, "Dear friends, I am writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing, the true light is already shining. Anyone that claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. But whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble." You see, that one of the things that you've got to understand is that pure love for other people is seeing them as God sees them. Seeing them as God sees them. One of the things that is I've dealt with my entire life is I've wanted people to see my children as I see them. When my kids went off and they would go, when they were young, and they would go spend the night with somebody else, I wanted to make sure they were well behaved. Anybody else concerned about that? How about when your kids go out and you come back and you got that little anxiety that goes on? It says, well, you know, how did they do? And the people say, well, he was a perfect gentleman, or he was a perfect angel. Don't you want that? Well, God has his kids, and he wants them to be loved. He wants them to be respected. And his kids are sitting right next to you, and you need to love them as God loves them. The second thing is your pure love for God. Your pure love for God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 says, "We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his words, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked." This morning I was getting ready, and Nancy's gone for another week. She's visiting with our kids, and I'm getting ready, and I'm kind of tired this morning, and I'm trying to button up my shirt, and I think I've got my shirt buttoned up just right, and I go and look in the mirror, and somehow this button right here got up here. And I started to wear it like that so you could kind of see it, but my shirt was all messed up. One side of the collar was up here, one side was down here, and I just looked at myself in the mirror and said, "This is the reason why you're married, Neil. Because if you hadn't looked in the mirror, you would have gone out looking like this." But that's the bottom line. If you don't get that first button right, you can't get the second button right. In other words, you've got to have a pure love for God in order to have this higher love. You've got to get that first button right before you can ever get the second one right. Well, the question is what happens when I love God? What happens when I truly love God for who God is? The very first thing happens is that I am known by Him. I am known by Him. The passage says in 1 Corinthians 8 and chapter 3, "But the man who loves God is known by him." Underline those words. The man who loves God is known by him. I will never forget being in Orlando with the youth group. We were at Sunquest, and I'm standing there talking, and the teens are kind of hanging around, and I'm talking with some of the teens in between things. And Shaquille O'Neal is in the house. He's in the hotel. And he comes walking by, and I recognize him because, you know, he's famous, right? And I just, you know, I'm trying to be cool about it because, it's Shaq. Not this Shaq. It's another Shaq. But I'm trying to be cool about it, and I just go, like, you know who I am, right? He grins, and he nods back. And one of the teenage girls, I'll never forget it, she looked at me and she says, "Do you know him?" And I said, "Yeah, that's Shaquille O'Neal." And as soon as I said those words, I realized what a storm I created, because every one of those teens went nuts. and they tried to follow the man into the bathroom. And I had to rein them all in. I didn't know him. I knew of him. But what does it mean to be known by God? What does it mean to you to be known by God? It is the greatest feeling in the world to know that I am known by Him. You see, when I really mess up, God knows me. When I get up in the morning and I have a bad attitude, He knows me. When I'm sorry for my sin and I want to repent, He knows me. When I'm troubled in my heart, He knows me. When I'm being tempted, He knows me. When I'm dealing with a loss, He knows me. The second thing is, I obey Him when I love God. It says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. It's that simple. So many people in the church today, they want to go out during the week, Monday through Saturday, and they want to sow their wild oats. They want to do whatever they want to do during the week, live however they want to live during the week, and then they come in on Sunday morning and they pray for a crop failure. And for many of us, we need to look at our lives and we need to determine that we are going to obey God's commands not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the rest of the week. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, here's how we can be sure that we know God in the right way. Keep His commandments. If someone claims, I know Him well, but doesn't keep His commandments, he's obviously a liar and his life doesn't match his words. If I come in here on Sunday morning and I claim that I am a Christian and I sing God is love with you with a passion that you've never heard before, but during the week I don't keep His commandments, God says you are a liar. And we need to be careful that we are keeping His commandments. If we love God, we will do that. Number three, we love His church. We love His church. That's one of the things that I've been struggling with since I started preaching is the number of people who are members of the church who talk bad about other members of the church. I struggle with that. Now, I understand there are times where personalities don't get along. I mean, there are times when I know Shaq pretty good. As a matter of fact, I probably know him better than a lot of you. And Shaq is a great guy. Don't get me wrong here, but you know what? Shaq's weird sometimes. All right, so you know him too. By the way, that was Brent Bird. He'll be down front repenting for talking bad about one of our elders. But you know what, Brent? I know Chris Kent pretty well, too. He's weird, too. As a matter of fact, I can pretty much go around the room. Jan, you're weird, too. We're all weird. We all got problems. But you know what? Shaq being as weird as he is, Jan being as weird as he is, Chris being as weird as he is, and Bill, we don't even talk about Bill Hemphill. But no matter who it is, they can be weird, but we can still love them. And we need to have a love for the church. Because whether you like it or not, if you love me, you're going to love my kids, and you're going to love my wife. And the church is the bride of Christ. And if you love the bride of Christ, you're going to love the church. And if you love me, you're going to love my children. And folks, that's one of the things that we need to get right as a church. Look at the scriptures. If anyone who hates his brother, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. For somebody to say to us that I hate somebody that's in the brotherhood, you need to read this passage of Scripture and realize that you are condemning yourself as a murderer. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks around in darkness, and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Folks, we need to learn to love on a higher level. And what I mean by this is, when I was growing up in the church, I saw a lot of things going wrong in people's life. And instead of loving those people, I wanted to condemn those people. Instead of reaching out to people who are in a different lifestyle than me, I intentionally avoided them because of the fact they weren't like me. But one of the things that this passage is teaching us right here and right now is that we have to have a higher love for others. I do not have to agree with what other people are doing to love them. I want you to hear that again. I do not have to agree with what other people are doing in order to love them. I do not have to condone their sinfulness in order to love them. I can be the light with them in the darkness. And what I hope to see happen as I love them, as I spend time with them, they will see the light. I will not go around condemning them, telling them how they need to change and what they need to do. I will go around and I will be light to them so that someday they will see the light and hopefully repent and turn towards God. We need to live on that higher plane. And the very last thing, and this is the thing that I want to get across to you today, is God lives in you. God lives in you. John 17, verses 20 through 21, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. All of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When you love God on this higher plane, you have God living in you, and people of the world can see this. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 through 16, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Underline those words, because it's so important that you understand that God lives in you and he in God. Also, we know that we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. I don't think that I fully understood it when I was baptized at 9 years of age. But one of the most beautiful pictures that we have of God living in us is in baptism. And that's where we start up here at the beginning of the steps, and we get down into the water and we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came and he died for the remission of our sins. And after we do that, we are buried with Christ in baptism through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of our sins. And we raised up out of the baptistry and we live a new life. And that new life is in Christ. That is Christ living in us. That is God being in us. That is his Spirit being the gift that he has given us. When we love God, God lives in us. One of the things that you need to understand, that God living in you will only live in you for the amount of room you give him to live in you. And if you're still living at the lower levels, if you're still in the basement of the department store, you're not going to experience God living in you. You're not going to experience the prompting of the Holy Spirit to reach out to somebody. You're not going to experience the peace that passes understanding. You're not going to experience the joy that is unknown to most people because you don't have God in you, and it's only because you have not made room for Him. A lot of us just want enough God so that we can feel good about ourselves. But God says, I've got something better for you. I've got my Spirit to live in you. 1 John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to recognize that we have to maintain a relationship with God. We have to be in His Word. We have to be in prayer if we want to produce any fruit. Can you imagine me telling you I've decided to be a farmer? I was talking to Stacy, and he just got back from vacation where he does what I do. And that is, he goes and he works for his kids while he's on vacation. And he was talking about the fruit trees that he planted, and he built some raised boxes for planting. And if Stacy's moving slow, you'll understand. But what if I told you I was going to do that, but I didn't want to produce any fruit? I'm going to plant some trees, but I'm not going to do anything to water them or anything like that because, you know what, producing fruit is for somebody else. You know, there's those big name farmers, they have big farms and all that. Let them produce the fruit. Y'all would think that I was a madman because here I am wanting to be a farmer, but I don't want to produce any fruit. But if you're a Christian and you're not producing fruit, you're no different than the madman farmer who doesn't want to produce any fruit. Story is told, and I don't know whether it's true or not, but I read it, that there was a merchant that really wanted to meet Paul. He was a wealthy merchant, and he arranged it through Timothy to get to meet Paul in prison. I don't know if this is true, but it sounds like it might be. And the merchant went, he spent hours with Paul discussing the scriptures, discussing life. And when it was all done, he walked out and Timothy greeted him and said, how was it? He said, it was amazing. He said, but he's an old man. He's been in prison. He's frail. How does he have the stamina to do what he does? How does he have the joy and the power to do what he does? And Timothy looked at him and said, he's in love. And the man puzzled, and Timothy added to it, he's in love with Jesus. And the merchant looked at him and said, is that all? And Timothy's reply, that's all you need. This morning, you've come in here, you've sung songs about loving God. By the way, Jason did a phenomenal job on God is Love before my sermon. And you guys did great too. I'll have to tell you a little story, Jason. You cannot lead that song ever again before I get to preach. And here's the reason why. I baptized both of my sons. And I don't know how it happened, but after I baptized each of them, it was at different times, but after each occasion, they sang that song. And I will never forget baptizing my sons, them singing that song, as I'm listening to my sons sing it without me knowing it. in the changing room of the baptistry. And my prayer for both of them that day, and still is that they will love God with all their strength, with all their heart, and with all their might. Bring me a higher love. Lord, help me to love you more today than I did yesterday, and help me to know you better. Lesson is yours as we stand and sing.
I love you with the love of the Lord.